This is the means of neediness and indigence. Then he moves on and talks about the means of supplication. He says, your neighboring is my request. Nearness to you is the utmost object of my asking. Be my intimate in my loneliness, the releaser of my stumble. And then he moves on and says, you are my objects, none other. To you alone belongs my waking and my sleeplessness. Meeting you is the gladness of my eye, joining you the wish of my soul. Toward you is my yearning and a love for you my passionate longing. And you can see that this is the means of love. Now, let's contemplate on this phrase of the speech of Imam alayhi salam, which is among the beautiful pieces of this supplication. He alayhi salam says, for my aspiration has been cut off from everything but you, and my desire has turned toward you alone. You are my object, none other. To you alone belongs my wakings and my sleeplessness. So, when Imam alayhi salam says cutting off, you may remember that we talked about this element in few previous programs, but it is what we call in Arabic inqita, and it involves in meaning what attachment does not. This is why Imam alayhi salam does not say, for my aspiration has been attached to none but you. Rather, he says, for my aspiration has been cut off from everything but you. Because attachment to Allah does not negate the attachment to other than Him.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim, He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad, He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you.
It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
It is possible that someone is sincere in his attachment to the Almighty Allah, and also he is at the same time attached to someone or something else. The concept of cutting off and inqita entails both a positive and a negative meaning, as the meaning of inqita is detachment from the creatures and a kind of turning toward Allah. Detachment from the creatures is the negative significance. And the positive significance intended by Imam alayhi salam is the turning toward Allah. And this is because sincerity in love can be manifested in this joining and joining, some things we call fasl and wasl, disjoining from all other than Allah, and at the same time joining with Allah and those whom He loves and He commanded to love. These are in fact two sides of one single issue. We will inshallah move on to talk about this important elements in seeking recourse to the Almighty Allah. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Over the past 2 months, several Israeli firms have been targeted with a ransomware variant called Pay2Key. Pay2Key is a relatively new ransomware variant first spotted in November by Checkpoint Research, an American Israeli multinational provider of software. Now, security firm ClearSky says the crypto-locking malware is linked to Foxkitten. The Israeli-based ClearSky cybersecurity firm estimates, with medium to high confidence, that Pay2Key is a new operation conducted by Foxkitten, an Iranian APT group that began a new wave of attacks in November to December 2020 that entailed dozens of Israeli companies. The hacking group published documents related to firms using the US-based cybersecurity firm Port Knox's services. These companies included Bezek, Elbit, Elal, the Clalit health provider, and dozens of other firms and companies, according to the Ynet news site. At least 80 business and corporations of in the highest echelons of industry, including military, cybersecurity, airlines, media, and others. The hackers, according to Israeli media, successfully hacked into Israel's regime-owned Israel Aerospace Industries, which is an Israeli military contractor. The attack also hit Amital Data, which provides its Unifreight logistics software, and at least 40 of its clients. Another target was Habana Labs, which produces processors and works under the US-based Intel company, a Dow Jones-listed public semiconductor giant. The firms are some of Israel's most prominent companies. Pay2Key said it seized almost 1 terabyte of data and has published just 3 gigabytes of it. The documents it released included a 15-page report from 2018 that detailed weaknesses at Elbit, a major Israeli defense company, according to the Wala news site. Israel's Port Knox Networks, a computers and cybersecurity firm, was also hit hard. Portnock said in response to reports of the attack several hours ago, it was published that our internal servers may have been breached by a group known as Pay2Key. We are currently conducting an intensive investigation in order to understand the scope of the event. Then in November 2020, the first wave of the attack on Israel began. That's when hackers began leaking information via Telegram and dark web site. This is known as the first wave of attacks. Then this month, the second one started. Multiple companies, including supply chain attacks and leaks via Twitter. This is the fifth cyber attack on Israel during 2020, including one that targeted its water infrastructure in April. In April 2020, a cyber attack targeted agricultural water pumps in northern Israel, while the other struck infrastructure in the center of Israel, according to the British Financial Times paper. The Pay2Key hacker group usually asks for payments of 7 to 9 bitcoins or $189,000 to $243,000. According to cybersecurity researchers, the ransomware is sophisticated and the first of its kind with no overlaps with other known ransomware strains. Apparently, it has been created from scratch, and it is currently unclear who developed the ransomware and why they are targeting only Israeli companies. But this is all ironic, as Israel has always bragged about being one of the global leaders in cyber weapons. In fact, the Israeli regime itself has even eased rules on cyber weapons exports despite criticism.
What not to do is to get in the way of the business side of it. Now, it's impossible not to regulate somewhat, but my principal role has been not to over-regulate. And guess what? The minute this industry begins to percolate and grow and overflow, then the demands for regulating it, as you would regulate a weapons industry, abound. But I think we have to take the risk, and it's a considerable risk, of regulating less in order to have, in order to grow more. And that's the decision that I have taken and that Israel has taken.
But that was a bunch of nonsense. Israeli companies who have military ties have spied on many journalists and human rights advocates. Their technology has even been used by the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, for example, to target and kill dissidents. According to American whistleblower, living in exile former National Security Agency NSA, contractor Edward Snowden, an Israeli cyber malware firm, was enabled the murder of Saudi dissident Jamal Khashoggi in Turkey. Snowden, who is currently living in Russia after he leaked secret documents about US telephone and internet surveillance in 2013, explains how the company works.
They go by the name of the NSO. And it works like this. They send you a time-sensitive text message, and it's got a link in it. It's something that you have that, you know, human impulse. You see it, you go, oh, goodness, I need to check that and see what's going on with this. As soon as you click the link, and everybody clicks the link because they can try this 100 different times in 100 different ways, always from a different number, your phone now belongs to whoever sent you that message. Everything in the entire history of your phone, they can immediately copy. Everything that happens on your phone from that day forward, every place you go, everyone you call, everything you read, every photo you take, every audio note that's been on that, or actually because they can turn the microphone on remotely.
By 2018, Israel's NSO Group spyware company's Pegasus software was being used in 45 countries, according to Citizen Lab, targeting activists in Bahrain, Kazakhstan, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Mexico. In 2019, the US-based social media company Facebook sued Israeli cyber surveillance firm NSO Group, saying it hacked over 1,400 users of its messaging platform WhatsApp earlier that year. The hacking spree targeted journalists, diplomats, human rights activists, political dissidents, senior government officials, and others, Facebook said in its lawsuit.
So these softwares that NSO is marketing as tools to prevent terror and crime are used against human rights defenders and lawyers and doctors and members of parliament. We are not criminals and we are not terrorists. And when the Ministry of Defense in Israel allows this to happen, it endangers millions of people around the world.
But when Israel is hacked, it cries wolf and almost always blames Iran. In this latest attack, their Israeli media have pointed the finger at Iran. Of course, this isn't the first time, and such accusations have also been instigated from the top. But the latest hack attack on Israel has left Israeli cybersecurity firms flabbergasted and several industries in a mess. OP Innovate CEO Omer Pinsker, who led the research, and Shay Pinsker are aiding a number of Israeli firms as part of their response teams, according to Israel's Haaretz newspaper. There you have it. Israel, an entity that brags about its cyber criminal activity but can't protect its own infrastructure in the face of a group of hackers that it can't even identify.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا اله
This is part of a speech of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with clergy and the students of the seminary. Is it possible for someone to consider it possible that hell exists and that one may remain forever in its fire while at the same time doing wrong? It is painful to realize that they do not even consider these truths to be possible from the manners of some and their way of living. It is obvious that they do not even consider the existence of a supernatural world to be possible, since the mere consideration of this possibility keeps men from committing many wrongs.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we are with another episode of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio, and this is your host, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. We were talking about the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini, and there are a couple of his viewpoints in regards to the theology and servitude. And today, the saying that we have in that Imam Khomeini has said, "All of our divine duties are blessings of God bestowed upon us, but we consider them as obligations," which means that we consider them as burdens. You know, when the kids, they age to the age of 6, 7, or maybe 8, or maybe when they're 5 years old, they try to help their mother in home. They try to help their father in the work that they do. Why they do so? Because they think that they can do like parents, they can work like their parents. But if the parents, they stop them from doing that, it hurts them. Why? Because they imagine, they think that our parents think that we are not big enough. So when even the parents, when they feel that this child or this kid can handle these things, they put burden on them, they put burden of work. And when this workload is being given on those kids, they become happy. For example, if mother is washing the dishes, and if she gets the help of her daughter, who is 5 years old or maybe 4 years old, that daughter feels happy. Why? Because she thinks, now I can work with my mother, I can help my mother, and I'm grown up like my mother. So basically, these burdens, when we are kids, when our parents put some pressure or burden of work upon us, we think that we become big, we are big enough, and then we accept all those things, we are happy. Same is the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why He tells us to, for example, fast or pray? Because He wants to tell us that you became big. You're big enough to do all these things. And that's why we have the limit, age limit of the bulugh, the age limit to become adult in the Islamic context. And when a girl is 9 years old and a boy is 15 years old, that is the time when Allah says, now it is obligation on you to pray. So Imam Khomeini is saying, you need to think this way, that these things are the blessings of God. Why? Because God is talking to you now directly. He is directly ordering you to pray. Aqimus salat, establish prayer. You need to do that. Fast, you need to fast. And He is directly talking to each and every one of us and giving us the duties to do and the obligations to perform. Therefore, we should not think these obligations as burden, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Lecture. Sheikh Asad Ja'fari.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi alladhi la yablughu middahatuhu alqa'ilun. ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا صلوا على محمد وآل محمد Achieving a life of bliss through the Islamic family has been our ongoing topic. Our discussion has been revolving around the difficulties and challenges that we are facing today within our own Islamic families. Attempting to convert our houses into homes. Attempting to, of course, create that level of sukoon, itminan, serenity, and comfort inside the homes that was meant to be there. And our discussion yesterday was revolving around a tradition by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Where, as I've mentioned the past nights, and I'll keep repeating myself until it gets through all of us, he mentions that ubudiyah, subservience to Allah, it's not possible without four different relationships to be examined by every individual. And I chose this specific tradition because I see a pattern developing sometimes inside of our homes, inside of our communities, where some of us feel like as long as I am good with Allah and I'm upholding my personal responsibility with Allah, it doesn't quite matter how I am with everything else. He talks about the idea that you and Allah, you and others, you and the dunya, you and your a'mal, are those four relationships that we should constantly examine. And in light of our topic that we have chosen, I have examined the idea of you and others, and here others being, of course, your family. The four of you, the five of you, the two of you, the six of you, however many family members you have, inside your four walls. And then yesterday we talked about the fact that with every four relationships, there are seven respective principles for each relationship. And those seven I mentioned yesterday, and I discussed two of them yesterday, the first two being hilm and af, forbearance and forgiveness. I talked about being halim inside of our homes, where a family structure should use the difficulties this dunya will present to you, is bound to present to all of you, to use it to strengthen the family unit, not to break it apart, not to play the blame game, not to make somebody feel like they are responsible for all the bala and the hardship that happens inside the home. And then I spoke about forgiveness and the importance of being tolerant towards the forgiveness and the mistakes of others. And I spoke about this idea last night that one of the reasons why we are not as forgiving of a people as we should be, it's because we don't do enough muhasaba of our own actions and our own mistakes. When we are understanding of our own limitations and our own difficulties and our own mistakes, we are tolerant towards those mistakes of others. As I promised, we'll discuss all seven and two more tonight. Tawazur and Sakhawat. Humility and generosity. And it's important that we understand these seven are meant to be applied inside of our homes. And it's not easy. I don't pretend like what I'm saying to all of you is easy. It's for sure easier said than done. No doubt about that. But at least enough for us to ponder a little bit, especially as husbands and fathers in the homes, do these seven principles exist inside my home or not? Let's get started. Humility, the idea of tawazu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran in Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 63. It's a very beautiful verse in the Quran. Let's break down this verse to understand what it means to have humility. He says, when it comes to the servants of the Rahman, that alone is very interesting. does not say the servants of the all-wise, the servants of the all-powerful, the servants of the all-knowing. He's specifically saying the servants of that all-merciful Lord. So right away, what he's saying is, look, if we claim to be the slaves and the abd of that Rahman, of that merciful one, again, tying my discussion from last night into today, a nice segue using the Quran, then he's saying, if you claim to be the slave to that master, then you must reflect that quality inside of yourself as well. Who are they? There are those who walk on the earth in a state of honan, in a very humble state with humility. To understand a little bit of what honan or tawazu means, let's understand a little bit of the Arabic understanding of the word tawazu. Waza'a in Arabic, to understand what waza'a means, let's get to the actual opposite. The opposite of waza'a is rafa'a. And you might know what rafa'a means if you come to the ta'aqibat of namaz asr, I believe. It says, what? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min nafsin la tashba' wa min qalbin la yakhsha wa min ilmin la yanfa wa min salatin la turfa. Allah, I seek refuge from you, from a salat, from a namaz that does not do turfa to me, that does not elevate and raise me. That mi'raj we talk about in the hadith, that salat is a mi'raj of a mu'min, is the elevation of the mu'min. That's the essence of what rafa'a means. The opposite of that is waza'a. Alright? So tawazu is the idea of you accepting the fact that I am not this high entity, but in fact I'm a low entity in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walking around the earth honan, in the state of humbleness, is a state where you understand your place in this entire universe. And then it says quite beautifully, وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. إِذَا in Arabic does not mean if. It means when. It's bound to happen that when somebody who's jahil, who's abrupt, emotional, ignorant, has no idea what they're talking about, when they are what? إِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ, when they talk to you, meaning what? You don't ask for them to come and talk to you. They approach you. They challenge you. They message you. They call you out, let's say, on the WhatsApp groups. And they, of course, are somebody who, at that moment, is filled with either ignorance or emotion or anger or misinformation. When they come at you, your response is qalu salama. Now, qalu salama has two meanings. Either it's ma'aqul or it's a hal in Arabic grammar. Either one, it's a very beautiful discussion. Again, we're describing those. Allah says, look, if you want to be the abd of Rahman, you have to have honan, number one, walking around the earth, not with your chest out, your head up, thinking that you're the man or thinking you're something special. No, you are very humble. You have humility. It's not rafa'a, it's waza'a, meaning what? It's the idea of you falling yourself, lowering yourself, understanding yourself to be nothing but a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam says, I wonder at the human being sometimes, that his beginning is nothing but a najis fluid, his end is nothing but powder in the grave, and in between that he's a vessel of feces. And yet he still walks around like he knows everything. And I'll get to the reason why in a moment. Understanding the placement of humility inside the Quran, Allah here is saying that part of honan is how you deal with those who are jahil towards you. Salama could mean the idea that you say, Zarafis, I'm out. You walk away. You don't engage in that conversation. Or the other possibility is that it is hal, meaning what? That when you speak to them, your response to them is a peaceful discussion. I talked about that yesterday. I said the beauty of the akhlaq and the conduct of the Ahlul Bayt was that they were not simply a reflection of the person in front of them. They had their own principles, and they showed those principles everywhere they went. If the person in front of them was spewing jahalat at them, they would give them ilm in return. If somebody was shooting fire from their mouth at them, there would be the water to extinguish that fire. Not like me, that I become better or worse than the person in front of me. This idea of qalu salama is that they come at you and they spew all sorts of garbage at you. Misinformation. They challenge you on things that they know nothing about. Now your reaction is either you become even more jahil than them, or you lower yourself in terms of your tone to what? To undermine that jahal. Look, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a command to Nabi Musa to go and speak to Fir'aun, okay? Go and speak to Fir'aun and tell him about Tawheed. Look at the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepping Musa and Harun both. He says to Musa, قُولُ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيَّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكْرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. When you speak to Fir'aun, keep in mind who he's speaking to. When you speak to Fir'aun, Musa, talk to him with awlan layyana, a soft tongue, a tone. A naram lahja, as they say in Urdu. Don't allow yourself to drop yourself the level of Fir'aun. Who's Fir'aun? The biggest enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would walk around and say, ana rabbukul ala, I am your biggest Lord. This whole God of Musa is a sham, it's a joke. I am your Lord. I am your God. The biggest enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now being confronted by the hujjat of Allah and the command from that Allah to his hujjat is when you speak to Fir'aun, I know you want to blast him, but talk to him with a soft tongue. Look at the remaining of that verse. He says, Allah says, maybe, la'allahu, perhaps, it could be, that what? Fir'aun becomes yatadhakkuru aw yakhsha. It could be that he could become somebody who is the ahl dhikr of Allah or has khushu in his heart for God. Who? Fir'aun. That based on your approach, Musa, you could change someone like Fir'aun. If I had time to explore this topic, I would. But one point in brackets I want to mention here is that Allah is sending you and I a beautiful message. That not only are the effects of a very soft tone huge sometimes, but more importantly, sometimes that soft tone that we have with other individuals could bring individuals who you think are off the path back on the path. Meaning even Allah is telling Musa that even someone like Fir'aun should not be given up on. There's always a chance for them to be guided. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد
صل على محمد صل على محمد صل على محمد صل على محمد اللهم صل على
Allah saying when the jahil comes to you, the humility is for you to lower yourself, maintain your own akhlaq. He's telling Musa, it's not munasib for you. It's not appropriate for you as my prophet, as my hujjat, for you to lower yourself to the level of Fir'aun. Maintain your own naram lahja and your soft tone. And because of that soft tone, maybe somebody like Fir'aun might come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning what? We should never give up on anybody's hidayah. Sometimes, you know, I tell you, young guys, youth, they walk in for the first 10 days of Muharram. Or they walk in, let's say, on the night of the Shahadat of Sayyidah Fatima. Or they walk in during Arba'in, Bain, you don't see them all year. They walk in and they have, you know, a rather different style of hair, maybe a different clothing, maybe a couple of holes in their in their ears, who knows? And they walk in, let's say, and they walk in and sit down, and perhaps someone like me will sit there and right away, what? Judge this individual. Look at this kid. He's off the path. Gumrah bacha. He's gone. And we write him off like, you know what, he's not worthy of any sort of hidayah. So he thinks, you know what, I knew it was a mistake for me to come here to begin. This verse is telling us that if someone like Fir'aun has a 1% chance of coming towards Allah, then so does anybody else. You should never assume that nobody is worthy of a little bit of hidayah and some guidance. You never know when someone comes in through that door. And, you know, I've made this point before in Toronto already. But sometimes, you know, there are people who know that they have not been here all year long. And they walk in already with a lot of anxiety. They've probably had this talk 10 times already with themselves. Are you sure you want to go? Yes, I want to go. They come in with maybe a lot of hope, maybe a lot of umid, maybe things might change. Maybe they're walking in through that door, living a devastating life at that moment. Who knows? You don't know their story. And they come in hoping that maybe a little bit of the dhikr of Ali Muhammad might save me or pull me out. Let's try this door. I've tried every other door, it slammed in my face. I've heard about the door of the Ali Muhammad. Let's walk in. It's Shabishad. Let's walk in tonight and see what I can gain. Maybe a hadith, a verse, something might happen. He walks in and he feels 1,000 eyes on him. 1,000 whispers as he walks by a group of people. Nobody even comes and serves him tea. And he leaves thinking, you know what, I knew it was a mistake, I'm not going to come back here again. Or he comes in right away, Salaamu Alaikum, how have you been? Where have you been? We miss you around here. Is everything okay? Right away, he feels like they've noticed that I'm gone. And you sit down, you break some bread, you have a cup of tea, and before you know it, he thinks, you know what, I'm happy I came. So the approach is up to all of us. But if Allah is saying to Musa that even Fir'aun deserves a chance, even Fir'aun deserves a chance, then who are you and I to label somebody misguided, off the path, a waste of our time? Why is he even here? Dustin Kishia, Dodin Kishia, all these labels, mashallah, that we place on ourselves, the Ashura Shia, the Arba'in Shia, it's not munasib for someone like us to have that type of akhlaq. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the idea of humility, the idea of understanding your position when it comes to Allah being the master. And of the 7 principles that I'm going to present to all of you, this one, in my opinion, is the most difficult. And I'll tell you why. Because we live in an era today that preaches the opposite of humility. We live in an era of individualism today. This me generation that we live in right now is completely opposite from the we approach of Islam. So this generation, this world now, I won't even say the West anymore, it's become a dunya problem. They grab today's millennials, 18-year-olds, 21-year-olds, 25-year-olds, and they tell them things like, you do you. You be who you are. You know why you're doing that? Because you can. If you want to go and serve this cause, ask yourself, how does that serving that cause benefit me, for example? And the entire focus of today's generation is what? Is the individual. Right? It's a selfie generation. Generation of the glamorization of every action that you do. Everything now is public. That's part of the reason why we're dealing with this mental health phenomenon. It's because, can you imagine for a moment an 18-year-old who's plastering their entire life on social media, everything from the snack they ate to where they went to their vacation to their shopping spree, everything is online, and they wait for someone to comment. Imagine yourself, you know, it's comical, but they take 20 selfies and they choose the one that they think they look the best at, and they plaster that for the entire world to see, and they wait. And they wait to see how many likes, how many comments, how many emojis, how many OMGs, how many you look hot comments are going to come. And if they don't get that, then they end up feeling ugly. So they search for validation by others or through others. It's a stressful process. And that's why we have anxiety. We have 16-year-olds today taking antidepressant pills every day. And our immigrant parents have no idea sometimes how to handle that because they were never given that platform to talk about their own anxiety. They weren't. Ask them in Africa, India, Pakistan, if you ever went to your father when you were this 17, that Baba, I feel anxious. He would not recognize that. Acknowledge it. He'd laugh at you probably. What are you anxious about? Go and study and come back. Do you have a mortgage to pay? Bills to pay? Do you have kids to feed? No. What are you anxious about? But they live in a very glamorizing society today. Everything they do, good or bad, has to be plastered on social media. That's just the way it is nowadays. The process is, however, it results in what? A very individual-centric individual person. It's all about me. Islam says, no, convert that so that you serve others. The most difficult thing to be is mukhlis in everything that you do. Sincerity, khulus, ikhlas, is the most difficult akhlaqi trait to achieve. Because humility, khulus, sincerity, tawazu, all these things require us to do what? Separate ourselves from ourselves and serve others outside of us. And do it without even a hint of recognition. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمَكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. When we feed the poor, when we feed the orphan, when we feed the captive, we do it, why? لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. For the essence of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ. We don't want anything from you. Not a jaza, not a shukr, not a reward, not even a thanks. How many of us can do that today? How many can I do that today? If I don't get recognized, appreciated, applauded, shabash, taliyah, a pat on the back, what's the point of me doing? I'll come and I'll serve the youth committee, but can you fill this form out for my community hours at the end of the day? I'll become a teacher for you, but I want that Tim Hortons card at the end of the day at the awards day. It is the most difficult thing to achieve, is humility. Because we live in a society that says, wait. How is that going to help you? Because this entire notion, you know, be it in the music industry or entertainment or Hollywood or Bollywood or whatever the case may be, is all about the idea that whatever you do, make sure you do it to promote you. You're now a brand. You're a marketing brand. You're no longer, you know, this person. You are a brand. Everything you do is a brand. There are people now in this world who get paid millions of dollars just to be them. Just to show up at a party, let's say, for example, they get paid thousands and millions. This sense of humility, the sense of serving a cause outside of you, is a very difficult thing to happen inside of a home. But I ask my parents, make sure you constantly remind your children, number one, about the blessings that you have. Where the individualism starts, this kufran and ni'mat begins also. We don't quite understand how others my age live in this world. That's why whenever you can, take your child on that side of the ocean. Show them how others live. Go serve the Iraqi Zawar. Go to your hometowns in Karachi or India or Africa, wherever the case may be. And show them, look, this kid's 16, he barely has running water inside of his home. And you're complaining that your TV in your room is too small, Baba. Get involved in these charity works, soup kitchens. Go feed the homeless. Do it without a camera. Do it without a hashtag. Do it without a hashtag TBT when I fed the homeless. You don't need all of that. Do it why, fi sabilillah. That's the humility, that's the honan the Quran talks about. It's very difficult. Oh my God, is it difficult. It's so hard because you have this nafs, this ego, this narcissistic being inside of you that just wants you to make sure that you get credit for everything that you do. And when you don't, oh, there's qiyamah, there's chaos. Ask my Sunday school administrators, if they forget one name of a teacher on awards day, oh,
They won't come back next September. I didn't get that Tim's card. It's very difficult. But we have to do that inside of our homes. Humility is a basic akhlaqi conduct of behavior inside of us. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
Avirik Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first grade. My dad, who is taught me the art of law.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 10th, 2021. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is a program where your views are read through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, the special this Sunday program is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us in normal days. However, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material, including QSL cards, I mean paper QSL cards and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. So please be patient until we get back on track and send you what you requested. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Rafan Ahmad from India, Abdul Alim from India also, and Saber Jawad from Morocco. Rafan, Abdul Alim, and Saber, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Thank you again. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mention some of their names here, and later during our program, I will read their emails and letters, including Ram Babu Kumar from India. Also, we have an email from Pekka Liete Poja from Finland. I wish I'm right in pronouncing his or her name because I don't know Finnish. Also, we have another email from Brian Penny from the United States. From Belgium, we have an email from Chris Janssen. Chris Janssen is one of our regular listeners. And the last but not the least is an email from Ukraine. This email is from Andrei Novorodsky. And that's all for today. Dear listeners, please stay with us Until the end of the program, I will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds after the music. And this is Listeners Special, and I'm back with all these kind emails and letters from around the world. First of all, we have an email from Ram Babu Kumar from India. Ram Babu says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, we know that this past year has been very difficult for all, and we pray that the coming year brings more times for you and all your listeners around the world, sending all our love and good wishes for better days ahead. Stay safe and take care. I want to say that I have not received your promotional material, so I kindly request to you, please send me some souvenirs as well as New Year calendar. Please know that I am collecting stamps and other postal items, so I kindly request to you, please send me some used postage stamps if possible. Looking forward to receiving your letter." First of all, greetings to you, Ram Babu Kumar from India, and thank you very much for writing us this email. As you said, this past year, 2020, has been a very difficult year for, in different areas, of course, difficult it was for many people around the world, and we pray that 2021 be a very good year with peace and especially peace and health for people around the world. And you know, you've requested promotional items of IRIB English Radio, and I mentioned in the introduction part of our program that sending any material, including promotional material and items and paper QSL cards, is temporarily halted on behalf of IRIB English Radio, and that's because of the coronavirus pandemic. So please be patient until the disease is controlled and we can send our dear listeners around the world the paper QSL cards and promotional items. Thank you again, Ram Babu Kumar from India, for sending us this really beautiful email. Also from Finland, we have an email from Pekka Liete Poja from Finland. As I said, I hope, you know, I wish I'm right in pronouncing your name, because I don't know Finnish. This email says, "I listened to your program few days ago from 56 UTC to 512 UTC here in Kouvola in southern Finland. Reception of your program was quite good. I would be very happy if you could verify that I have heard right and this signal was originally from your station transmitter. I'm 66 year old and I have had this hobby since I was 12 years old. Now I'm retired and I've started again this hobby. I have these reception confirmations from 60 countries now. I have never collected any from your country, but I hope that it will be possible to have one of your radio. I wish you all the best and hope that your transmission will be heard even further than Finland. With best regards." Salam and greetings to you, Pekka, from Finland. And it was nice of you sending us email. Pekka from Finland, thank you for writing to us. And as you said, listening to different stations of radio, and you collect souvenirs of different stations. First of all, we are very happy that you joined us, and we welcome to have you as a new listener of IRIB English Radio. As I have said several times during our previous programs, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is temporarily halted, and that's because of coronavirus. In the past, we used to send our dear listeners postcards and other souvenirs. Today, because of the outbreak of coronavirus, this tradition is stopped and it is not possible to send our dear listeners paper QSL cards or other promotional items. You've joined us. We are so happy. Please keep in touch and send us more emails and tell us, why don't you tell us your views about our broadcast?